Good morning. Lord, we come before you this morning and we worship you. Lord, in the beauty of your holiness. Lord, who are we? Who are we that are an awesome God like you? A wonderful God like you would want to have anything to do with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for saving us. Lord, I pray that you'd open your word for us this morning, that you'd open heaven for us wide, Lord, that we would receive from you. Because we come seeking. We come searching for you, for your truths, your ways. Lord, fill this place with your presence. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as usual, Shirley had a really good verse that she put on the wall this morning. She picks that out. She follows the leading of the Lord. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Worship in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Are we supposed to be afraid of God? Some should. He is an awesome God. That means full of awe, full of wonder. Fear and trembling. That's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Deuteronomy 4:23 and 24. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and made you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We're supposed to take him seriously, aren't we? Sometimes we get distracted and we forget to do that. It's very difficult to keep him in your mind and in your thoughts all the time, isn't it? Fear and trembling. It's mentioned several times in the Bible. Psalm 55:5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In other words, yes, we're supposed to, those that employ us, or those that we work for, or those that have authority over us, we're supposed to be acting that way. But it says, as unto Christ. In other words, we have to feel that way towards him too, don't we? Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with trembling. That's interesting. Philippians 2:12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Fear. Fear means terror, means exceedingly dreadful terror. But when it's applied to God, it means reverence. It means reverential trust. Because what it comes down to is we know who He is and what He's capable of, but we also know who we are, aren't we? We have to always keep that in mind, where He brought us from. In Genesis 27, we see Isaac blessing his sons. Well, he didn't exactly get it right. He forgot what God had said, that the younger would serve the older. And he told Esau to go kill him, go kill a deer and come back and cook him some venison, then he would give his blessing to him. That isn't what God wanted him to do. Rebekah heard it, so she sent her younger son to prepare dinner for him. And he got there first, and he received the blessing. He disguised himself as Esau, his older brother. And Isaac gave him the blessing. You know, there's a picture there of the gospel. We see someone coming to the Father in someone else's name, don't we? Oh, the smell's the same. It's supposed to be. We're supposed to be fragrant just like Jesus is. But that's... Well, God didn't see this as the right thing to do, though. Said when Esau finally came back and Isaac said, well, who are you? I've already gave your blessing away. Then it says he trembled exceedingly because he realized what had happened. He realized that God had fulfilled His word. And he trembled exceedingly, very exceedingly, it says. And he said, I have given him your blessing and he will be blessed. The word of the Lord. God has a purpose. He has a plan. How often do we attempt to overrule Him? But he that sits in the heavens shall laugh, shouldn't he? You think God laughs at us? I think He has to. You know, one group of people speak of God's power to preserve His people. Another group of people insists that we have to work to be preserved, which is true. Which is true. You know, in my experience, I've noticed that an awful lot of times when there's a dispute or people have opposing views on something, that it seems like the truth is usually somewhere in the middle, isn't it? You see, both of those beliefs, both of those thoughts are, the Bible says they're both true. Don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching salvation by works. I'm not saying we have to work to be saved. But there's more to it than that. God has the power, but yet we still have a responsibility, don't we? Philippians 2, 12 and 13, I've read it already, but I'm going to read it again. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's word tells us in James 1:27 to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. 1 John 5:21 says to keep ourselves from idols. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says to abstain from all appearances of evil. Jude, well, there's only one chapter. Verse 21 says to keep ourselves in the love of God. We do have a responsibility, don't we? God's word tells us to preserve ourselves. David said in Psalm 17:4, concerning the works of men by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. He said in Psalm 18:23, I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Psalm 119:101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. But that's the Old Testament, isn't it? Everything changed in the New Testament, didn't it? Well, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26-27, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, or I should be disapproved or disqualified. The things that we do, the world sees. And it can really destroy your witness, can't it? John said in 1 John 5:18, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. So is God giving us a reason to boast? 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. In that verse, he continues. He says, and his grace was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Which is it? He goes on. Was Paul taking credit? He says, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Colossians 1:29 says, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Confused yet? Arthur W. Pink says, grace is given to us to make use of, yet grace is required to use it. See, what God has done for us and does for us, that doesn't stop us from doing what we can too. No, we're not saved by grace. Or no, we're not saved by works. We can only work out our own salvation with fear and trembling as he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He doesn't need our help. But he wants us to participate in the process, doesn't he? Three things to consider. Number one, a Christian has his whole salvation accomplished for him, and yet he's to work it out. A Christian has everything done in him by God, and yet he has to work. A Christian has his salvation certainly secured, and yet he has to fear and tremble. Contradictions? As I said, it's not grace plus works to be saved. God's grace saves us. Who is Paul talking to? In 2:12, he refers to them as the beloved that always obey. In chapter 1, verse 1, he says he is addressing all the saints in Christ at Philippi. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to the unsaved. But if we're saved, why do we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? if we're already there. Paul isn't talking about getting saved. He's speaking of the entire salvation process. There are three tenses to salvation. There's past, present, and future. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from the power of sin, and we will be saved from the presence of sin. God is working in us according to His will and His purpose. He's perfecting us, yet we're told to be perfect. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You notice it says your own. You can't work out somebody else's, can you? You can share the gospel with them. Of course, we're supposed to. But that's a decision each one of us has to make. If you are a Christian, strive to complete the process. Work to be a better Christian. Do we do this in our own strength? No, we do it in God's strength. You could say that fear and trembling is actually a distrust of our own power and ability, isn't it? In Philippians it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. That's what we're told to do, isn't it? And He will lift you up. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be perfect. In other words, I'm not satisfied with where I am, what I am. I was thinking that during worship. Who am I to come before God and offer up praises to Him? With everything I've done in my life, but I'm looking at it wrong, aren't I? Who is God? He's deserving a praise from everybody and everything. If I don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. Who's deserving? He is. I'm not satisfied with what I am. I haven't arrived. I haven't attained. I'm not there yet. Philippians 3:12-14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Because I don't want to slip back into the life I had before. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to take it seriously because it is serious. Every decision we make, it can be just a little decision. Well, I can miss church this time. It won't hurt to miss it once. No, that just makes it easier to miss it the second time. Or I don't have to go visit so-and-so. No, it's called obeying God if He's telling you to go somewhere and do something. I remember going for a walk one night. I was living in Oregon. And the Lord was impressing something on me, and I stood on a street corner for quite a while arguing with God. I didn't want to go over and visit this friend of mine over in the other part of town. But God has a Ways and Means Committee, doesn't he? He can be pretty convincing. As it turned out, I was really blessed by doing it. But that comes from obeying God. Doing the things he wants me to do. Are you there? Are you there yet? Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you do work in us. That you do perfect that which concerns you. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the strength to obey, to do those things that you want us to do, to work towards being perfected. I'm going to ask anybody that needs prayer to improve their walk with the Lord or to draw near to him. I'm going to ask anybody that needs prayer for that to come forward. We're going to pray for you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Bruce, you want to come up and help us pray?